Beyond the Parent, the podcast for Christians seeking clarity for parenting in a confusing world. I'm Chuck Mead.
I'm Jeremy Autry.
Hey, we began the conversation saying there's some decisions you let your kids make for themselves as they grow older that changes, but there's some things in your home that should be non-negotiable. These are things that we're going to do in our home, and it's just the norm for us. Regardless of what age you are, you don't get to choose whether or not you're going to do this, you're going to do this. Today, we're going to talk about morality. We're going to talk about following a set of rules, following a concept of what's right and what's wrong. The idea that that has to be a thing in your home, that there's really no room for whether or not you're going to do that.
Yeah. We started off the entire podcast how the gospel is what transforms lives. Only Jesus Christ can change, and the power of the gospel can change our kids' hearts. And so when it comes to Christian living and spiritual discipline and living the morals and truths of the Word of God, we find that power in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't change our kids' hearts with morals. And Jeremy, it might be a good time to just define what moralism is before we jump into this. How would you define moralism?
So moralism itself is the concept that, well, morals is the idea that there are right things and wrong things. Mm-hmm. Moralism is kind of the concept that that's the most important thing, whether or not this is right or wrong. And an atheistic view of right and wrong would say, hey, this is just right and it's just wrong. And that's the upper echelon of the importance of the conversation. But as Christians, we say God is the end and the gospel is the most important aspect of that. And God tells us what is right and wrong. So it's not enough just to not tell a lie.
Yeah.
We also have to understand who God is and put our trust in Christ to be right, to be righteous, to be right with God. It's not enough to just do the right things. And in children's ministry especially, we can fall into the trap. And in dealing with younger kids, we can fall into the trap of, as long as you do the right things, you're right.
Yeah.
But that's moralism. That's not how the gospel works and how our relationship with God works, because we haven't done all the right things, and we can never do enough right things to erase the fact that we've done some wrong things.
Yeah. So having the right morals isn't going to change their heart, but in our home, we do, if we're following Jesus, if we're following what we read last week from Deuteronomy and following the New Testament blueprint for leading our homes and raising our families, we do need to mandate morality in our home. And we are all mandating some type of
everyone
morality, right?
People who would never listen to this podcast, people who don't believe there's a creator, or people who believe in a different savior than Christ, they still all, atheist, Catholics, the most strict fundamental Christian, we all have morals in our home. We all say, you do not do this, this is wrong. You do this always, this is right. We do that. In every setting you find yourself, there's morals that are applied to that setting.
Yeah.
If we go to the deepest, darkest jungles, we find that that tribe there has some kind of moral system that they follow.
Yeah, if you don't think that our society has any morals at all, then, you know, don't do this. But just try driving 30 miles over the speed limit, driving down 421. You'll soon find that there is an established moral, they might not call it that, but a rule of you have to drive this certain speed limit.
Walk into Walmart, pick up what you want, and try to walk out.
Yeah. So every society has morality. Now, it's a decayed, most societies have decayed pictures of biblical morality, but it all is trickling down from the original morality established by God. So, Jeremy, what's different from Christian morality versus other sources of morality?
Well, that's the rub. Christian morality, which is the perfect morality. Every other morality is a decayed version of that. But Christian morality doesn't just come from a human concept. Christian morality was created by God. So in establishing and mandating Christian morality in our home, we're saying we do the right things and we don't do the wrong things because of who God is.
Yes.
And because he's in charge. So it puts this whole new spin onto the expectations that we have for our kids. Expectations, of course, that they're going to fall short on. They're not going to meet all of those expectations. So then there has to be a consequence. But along with that consequence, I'm probably jumping the gun, but along with that consequence is a reminder of who God is and why we need a Savior. This is why our homes need Christian morality, so that we can understand that need.
Yeah. So really, I mean, we could, if we're putting these down into reasons we mandate biblical morality in our homes, we could start with that one. We want to glorify God with our parenting. That is the reason. We glorify God when we follow His word. Even if our kids aren't yet believing it, we glorify God in establishing our homes as, hey, we're going to honor Him with the rules that we have in our house.
If we're not careful as we delve into and discuss the concepts of parenting, we're going to lose track of this fact. First and foremost, we ourselves are individual agents who were created to worship and glorify and enjoy God. Ourselves first.
Yep.
And so everything we do, including our parenting, falls under that umbrella. So our parenting is not about us, and our parenting is not about our kids. First and foremost, as children of God, our parenting is about God. And even if it doesn't accomplish anything else, we should be seeking to glorify Him with the way we parent.
Yeah.
So here's His morals. Here's how He says we're supposed to live. We set that up in our home as the expectation, with consequences when it's not met, because that glorifies our Creator.
Yeah. So this goes the same. Before we jump any further, it's just good to kind of give some examples. Hey, these are, say our kids are not followers of Jesus. Maybe as a teenager, they say, I'm not a Christian anymore. I don't buy into this stuff. This is not where I stand. But we still have that responsibility to glorify God in our parenting. And so we are going to establish boundaries. We're going to establish rules in our home that are going to look different from the world. We need to draw lines in certain areas. Hey, you're not going to say those words in this house, because this is a rule we have in place. So that's mandating morality. You're not going to say that. Hey, you're not going to steal. You're not going to cheat. You're not going to break these laws. Okay, we'd be like, okay, duh. But then we draw that line in other places the world thinks is crazy. Hey, we're going to follow what God's word clearly outlines as the way to handle sex and relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. The world looks at that very differently. A world that doesn't believe in Christ and God looks at premarital sex differently. The outside of marriage, on what our kids do in their late teens and early 20s, a lost world looks at that very differently than we do as Christians, and what the Bible mandates. And so it's going to be different as we consider these things. It should look different in our home.
And especially because the standard has been set so low, even in that specific area for our kids. I mean, so much of society is like, oh, that's just what teenagers do. Teenagers are going to go and they're going to sneak out and they're going to be with different people and they're going to sleep around or whatever they would say. And they just expect that. You are the extremely odd one out if you go off to college as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, and you haven't had sex.
Yeah. I think there's an acceptance on the side of parents. Once my kids are that age, they're in college, these are things that are going to happen. They're going to sow their wild oats, and then they're going to settle down, and that just is what it is.
Yeah.
But Christian morality, the Bible says, no, that's right. Wrong. It's bad. Now, still, let's just be honest, most young adults in college are going to make that decision. But as a Christian parent, I'm saying, hey, that was a mistake, not, hey, this is just the norm.
Right, right. And so whatever we take, whatever line we draw, again, we line up the morals we draw in our home. We do that, this all according to Scripture. We don't let the world's way of thinking trickle into our homes. We draw the line where God does. So going back to the reasons we mandate biblical morality, we said, we want to glorify God with our parenting. What would we say next, Jeremy?
I would say next, that we want to glorify God with our parenting. And then also, we know the Bible gives us instruction on the best way to live our lives. Now, I'm not saying that if we follow Christian principles, if we memorize the book of Proverbs, that we're not going to have any trouble in our lives. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying that following the Creator's plan of how to live is the best option for every single person in His creation.
It helps society to be run better. It helps. If we follow the Ten Commandments and follow Jesus's basically additional commentary on the and clarification of the Ten Commandments in His Sermon on the Mount, if everyone in our society believed that, don't mishear me. We need the power of the gospel. But you just take practically, if people really followed the Ten Commandments and didn't murder people, society would be better.
Right, right.
If we really did this, there would be, if people didn't commit adultery and there were more intact families, society would be better.
Yeah, and you bring that into the New Testament, the Sermon on the Mount. If people love their neighbors like they love themselves, you know, these things would make the world a better place. I feel like we're a Coke commercial from the 80s.
But it's true. And so we truly believe that following God's way for living, because God created us, He created everything, and He knows what works best for us. God doesn't give us rules and commands to restrict us. God gave us commands because that was the most free way we could live. We follow His word when it comes to that. We take John 8:32 seriously, when the Lord says the truth will make us free. We know, or God knows, that we will have the most freedom and the best life possible when we follow His commands for living.
Yeah. The sin is dangerous, and that's one of the reasons that God warns us against sin. So choosing to do things His way is what's best for my kid. Now, we said God's first. We prioritize Him by making these decisions. We bring Him glory. But then as we turn our eyes to our kids, it's what's best for our kids. Chuck talked a little bit about teenagers who may say, hey, I'm an atheist. Hey, I don't believe what you believe about God and about salvation. The same thing's true for my kid who is in elementary school or even preschool. They're too young. They haven't understood the gospel yet, or maybe they understand, but they haven't put their trust in Christ yet. I'm still mandating this Christian moralism. Those are strong words. Mm-hmm. I don't say that to my second grader, that I'm mandating this Christian morality, but I still do, because it's what's best for my kid.
Yeah.
You know, it's best for you to be an honest person. It's best for you to be kind to other people. This, the way Christ teaches us to live, is how you can live your best life.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's dangerous.
But and it leads into our third and most important reason, like living according to the morals. Again, using the word mandate, if we use that word, mandating biblical morality in our homes, ultimately, when handled the right way, points them to the gospel. And that has to be the key in mandate. And this is where I think a lot of people wrestle with this, because maybe they didn't see they had parents that mandated certain morals, and they never gave a reason behind it.
Yeah.
They never pointed them, this is the whole reason why, and this is why it's the best way to live. But ultimately, this is, we've been changed through the power of Jesus Christ. We've been released from the chains of living, doing what we want to do according to the flesh that really just restricts and binds us. And according to the power of the gospel, we now have the freedom to live out the way God intended His people to live.
Yeah. So this is where we can't be lazy parents. This is where we can't just say, here's the rule, and if you break it, here's the consequences, and then walk away from it. When we explain that this rule exists, that needs to come with, hey, this rule came from God. I'm applying what I understand Scripture to teach. And then when that rule is broken, when that expectation isn't met, and that consequence, that punishment, that discipline is doled out, there has to be a gospel conversation right there.
Yes.
Hey, you messed up, and we all mess up, and there's consequences because we mess up, and here it is. But
there's grace.
Yeah. It's the whole reason. Think of the Old Testament. Think of the Jewish nation. God gave them all kinds of rules. Yeah. Some of them seemed, especially to us thousands of years later, just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But God is saying, hey, we're different from the people around us. Hey, here's how you glorify me. Here's how you stay safe and healthy.
Yeah.
And when you don't follow these rules, there will be consequences.
Yeah.
But the ultimate reason for that, he says in the New Testament, that law was a schoolmaster to bring them to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
The morals in my home are not there so that I can be the king of my house. I'm so convicted as I say this, because mm-hmm. this is the trap I fall into.
Mm-hmm.
The rules in my house are not so Jeremy can be the king of the Audrey house and things can go the way he wants them to go, and I can be comfortable and happy and watch the show I want to watch mm-hmm. and go to bed when I want to go to bed. The rules in my house should be there to glorify God, to give my kids the best life they can have, and ultimately to point them to the gospel.
That's good. So we don't have morals to just earn points with God or to brag or impress people. We live morally according to God's word as a response of worship to the grace God has shown us. So if we stop and just think about how the sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross so that we can have now access to God, a relationship with him, when that truly impacts the way we think and live and believe, then we look at these commands of scripture and we say, of course I'm going to follow the way God has for me to live. Of course I'm going to follow that. I trust him, and I know that God gives these moral commands out of love, not to restrict me. So, Jeremy, we can't force our kids to agree with what the Bible says. So we may have kids in our home who were giving these moral commands, they don't in their minds agree with it. Can mandate behavior, but not the heart. So what would you say about weaving those together? You know, I mean, at some point, we know there's some things we're not going to force our kids to do, right? Yeah. What would some of those things be?
Things we're not going to force our kids to do.
Morally, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not going to force my kid to, if I had a kid who said, hey, I'm an atheist, I don't believe your God is the real God, I'm not going to force that kid to pray to God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not going to force that kid.
Right?
It's nonsense. Yeah. I can force you to close your eyes, I guess, while I pray.
Yeah.
We just before this recorded an episode about requiring your kids to read God's word and study God's word. I'm going to make that a requirement of a kid who says I'm an atheist, but I'm not going to make devotion time a requirement because what are they devoting to a God that they don't believe in? I'm not going to make their prayer life a demand. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not going to make worship. They were created to worship. But if they're lost, them singing a song is just singing a song.
Yeah.
You know, it's nonsense. So there's some things that this is right and you should be doing this, but I understand the lack of value in forcing you to do this at a young age.
So there's things we can't change their hearts, but that just because we can't change their hearts, only God can. But just because that's the case doesn't mean we totally give up and we just say, well, they don't follow Jesus, so I'm just going to let them make whatever their decisions and live with the consequences while they're still under our roofs, while we still have them in our homes. We do have this expectation. Hey, we can mandate these things. Our goal is we want their heart to be changed. So we want them to be able to make these decisions when they lead their own home one day.
Yeah. A couple of thoughts. Our kids are forming their views of who God is as a parent as they watch us parent. So if these rules are just rules and there's no grace and no relationship and just me waking up grumpy from a nap, shouting out commands, we're giving them a messed up view of who God is.
Yeah.
And obviously we're imperfect. We can't do this perfectly, but you need to be keenly aware. I need to be keenly aware that my kids are forming an opinion of who God is based on how I handle these rules in our home.
Right.
And especially how I handle it when these rules are broken. If there's no grace, if there's no love, if there's no room for forgiveness, I'm doing more harm than good. I think it may be better. I don't know. This is just me spitballing. I think it may be better for a kid to grow up in a home with no rules but a lot of love than to grow up in a home with a lot of rules and no love. Just because of the picture it gives us of who God is. He is He's forgiving. He's full of grace. He is so patient with me. And I need to be that with my kids to give them that picture. So there's a real danger there. There's also a danger in, hey, here's the rules for you, but they don't apply to me. I get tripped up by that one a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. But if this is a Christian rule, if this is what God says, hey, here's how Christians should live, it applies to me too.
Yeah.
And I need to live that way. And I'm finding more and more as my kids get older and are forming their own opinions, there's sometimes that they understand a Christian concept, but they don't agree with the way I'm applying it in our home. There has to be room for that open discussion.
Yeah.
A respectful, on both sides, open discussion. And then a, I understand your position. Here's how we're applying this at our home. And I'm asking you, out of respect and honor to me as your father, to follow that while you're here.
Yeah.
That, and that's appropriate in that age. What's going to be harder to swallow as my kids, I have my oldest son's an adult now. Now he's still in college. As my kids get older, what's going to be harder to swallow is watching them in their own homes apply biblical truth differently than how we applied it in the home they grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm already prayerfully walking through some of that and asking God to strip me of my pride and trusting him to work in the hearts of my children.
That's good, man. And I'm just so glad you touched on that. We just have to have the lens of a love in every command rule we have, because God ultimately gave us commands in scripture because of his love for us. And it's loving for God to have those boundaries in our lives because he wants to protect us from the mess we could make of our own lives and the mess and the destructive power of sin. Hey, we're going to be unpacking some more, even more specific things. God's leading us for the next few episodes to begin to talk more about dating, relationships, sex, that conversation with your kids. It's going to be a doozy, back to back, those episodes. It's going to be a lot, but we strongly, passionately feel God is guiding us along this that really flows out of having mandating, for lack of a better term, morality in your homes.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're doing that anyway. So why not mandate the right morals from the creator of the universe and right and wrong himself? So, hey, thanks for listening to Beyond a Parent. Remember, parenting is beyond us, but in Christ, we have all that we need for this journey.
Thanks, guys.